Blog Talk Radio.
You guys know what time it is. It's time for V's After Dark, where I'm your host, Miss Rita Toy Lady, and I have my handsome co-host, James Acevedo. Whatever. You guys, if this is your first time listening, you're in for a sexual freaky good time. This show is brought to you by V's After Dark Pleasure Products, your one-stop shopping for everything that's pleasurable on the web. Check them out at thetoylady.com. That's thetoylady.com. Tonight's topic is social media timeout combined with what I was tweeting today.
Yeah,
you're
dead
to me. Okay, if tonight time permits, we'll be answering your questions or Ask Ms. V segment. This will happen after we interview our guests, but if you got to ask me anything, and I mean anything, or you can send a question for James, send them to askmissv@thetoylady.com. That's askmsv@thetoylady.com. Also, remember to tune in on Thursdays to Ask Miss V Sports, where that's a full hour of James and myself answering your questions. And we're just talking about sports, with a little bit of sex.
Yeah,
and that goes from 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Announcement, if you guys want to see me in person, check me out. I will be at Exotica Chicago. That's July 11th through the 13th at booth 735. As of right now, that may change. But we'll be debuting the very first toy in the V's After Dark product line. But tonight, we have the handsome Rob Piper calling in around 9:30 or sooner to answer a few of your questions and mine and James.
And
you know, we're going to be taking him to the V-Spot. If you don't know what the V-Spot is, sit back and listen, because once we go to the V-Spot, there is no going back. But before we talk to Rob, I want to talk about tonight's topics. It became topics from the conversation I had earlier today.
Yeah, it became plural, I see. Okay.
Yeah, topics. So, do you ever take a time out from social media, and why do you use the term, you're dead to me? But before we get to that, if you want to keep on top of everything that's going on with myself and James, you can follow us on Twitter at Miss V the Toy Lady. That's MSVDATOYLADY. And for James, follow him at YankeeMan1973. That's YankeeMan1973. And make sure you like the Facebook page of V's After Dark Pleasure Party. Make sure if you have any questions or you want to join in on the conversation for tonight, call 6-6-7-1-6-8-0-4-1 or join us live in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/ Miss V Toy Lady. That's SVDATOYLADY. Tonight's topic, social media break. Well, I came up with this because I noticed, and I got some stuff printed out about that. Shit, I forgot to pull it out. But you know what? I was distracted, but social media break. You know, I believe in this day and time, and I'm gonna say this, I think sometimes we get overloaded with social media, and when I say we get overloaded, it's we kind of forget that we need to be a little bit more focused and take time for our families and our friends and whatever, because it's really not productive to be, you know, as they say, out there. That's the best way to put it. And I say that, you know, when you do that, oh, shit. I'm sorry. I'm multitasking while I'm doing this.
You're doing social media?
Yeah, pretty much.
Make your case media. And look what you're doing.
Yeah. But, no, but when I say social media time out, it's one of those things where I always say we have to learn how to take time out because there's been a lot of things going on. Social media can be addictive. But
yeah.
The time out also has a lot to do with you getting overwhelmed. I mean, I read an article where it says social media causes drama.
Hmm.
I do believe that it happens. It also said that, and when they said drama, they were saying about people just getting really caught up in it.
Okay.
And it just being so overwhelming that you just didn't know what to do about it. And when I was looking at that, I was like, wow, you know. And people spend their whole day on social media. I mean, when we're talking about day in, day out on social media, where they're spending 8 or 9 hours where not getting work done. They actually, in one of the articles I read, it said how social media was actually counterproductive, especially for people with day jobs, where they're spending a good part of their day on the computer or they're looking for an update or they're posting something. Why ain't nobody posting this or they're posting stuff on Facebook? Why has nobody liked this picture and you just put it up 2 minutes ago or disliked it or made a comment? And, I mean, seriously, they were going through that.
Wow.
And if anyone noticed that I was not on social media on Sunday, and I have been trying to make at least one day a week where I really, when I say I don't get on social media, where I'm not even reading tweets, I'm not answering tweets, I'm not doing anything. I try to pick one day a week, and it's normally Sunday. But I also found out it's so refreshing because, you know, anybody who follows me knows that I start, like, at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning tweeting, like, good morning and everything. And it's refreshing to wake up on a Sunday morning and say, fuck it, I ain't going to that computer. You know, I treat my computer like I treat my job.
Yeah.
You know, so to not go to the computer and to do not do anything on it, when I say it was really refreshing, some people may not understand that, but it was really nice to be able to say, you know what, fuck it, I ain't doing it. And I think that a lot of people, there are people who cannot go without it. You know, my other half lives on his BlackBerry. And, well, he doesn't have a BlackBerry. He has a smartphone, but still. I'm always threatening him because we go to dinner, fucking working. And I'm like, dude, you can't work. If you're going to work, I'm going to tweet. You know, this is how it goes. I don't answer text messages. You shouldn't be answering emails.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say social media really goes with us, I mean, you have to learn how to take a break. I mean, we're going out of town in a few months, and
that's right.
One of the promises I have asked for is that unless it's family, that we not be interrupted with work or tweeting or Facebooking or anything. We're not letting people know where we're going.
Of course.
And I think it's going to be harder for him than it is for me. I'm being very honest. And I love, a lot of people say, V, how can you walk away from V's After Dark? I'm not walking away from V's After Dark. V's After Dark is up 24/7. V's After Dark is open 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm walking away from is me looking at emails because orders will be fulfilled when I get back. I'm only taking a short break.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who orders from V's After Dark understands there's a 7 to 10 day turnaround, and that's just for it to be mailed out. Therefore, the amount of time that I'm going to be on my little break, your order is still going to get filled, honey. Because if it's something that's on hand and I have staff that works on hand, guess what? Your order will be filled. But I think we really have to learn how to take these social media breaks. And it's something that I've come to realize that I hear people all the time, you know, oh, well, so-and-so posted something on Facebook. And if you guys notice, the V's After Dark Facebook page really doesn't get touched that often unless I'm on a Facebook spree. I'm just not getting back tweeting. I'm horrible with it. But, you know, I understand bloggers and stuff, they have to do that on a daily basis, but I still think it's crazy. I ain't even going to lie to you. I think it's really crazy. So what do you think about that, James?
Well, this is an absolute perfect topic. You must have ESP or something because this is a perfect topic for me. As you know, I can't remember ever not being on Twitter for a day in a long time. as you know, being a follower of mine, and I think a lot of followers of mine would say, you should slow down. just, what was it, yesterday? You know how you look at your Twitter page, you see how many followers, you see how many people you follow, and then there's that one all the way in the left that shows you how many tweets have you done.
Yeah.
I reached yesterday. Now get ready for the drum roll. 100,000 tweets.
Damn.
Now this is from ever since March of 2010. That's when I first joined Twitter. So if you do your math, that's about 2,500 tweets a year.
That's a lot of damn tweets.
That's a lot of fucking tweets.
That's 25,000 tweets a year.
Yes. Yeah.
Let me look at how many tweets I did.
I just happened to know that. I mean, I know,
you know
I was
what?
In the 90s.
I'm only at 42,000.
Yeah, well, I'm saying. I remember I looked at that, right? You know, it's almost like a revelation or something, and you're like, wow, 100,000 fucking tweets. Holy
that's
shit.
A, that's
when
a
you
lot
see
of
100K things. Next to it, you're like, ooh.
Your ass is a tweeting ass. That's
I'm
what
a tweeting ass. But I'm not a Facebook person as much. See, I see Facebook differently. I see Facebook as more personal, and, like, every so often I go on there very briefly. I don't really stay on too long unless somebody's contacting.
Facebook is business for me. So when
I
do
Twitter
Facebook,
is business more than I see Facebook for some reason. I see it the other way around.
Both of them are business for me. Remember, I don't have a personal account, so everything is business for me. But I think because with Facebook, I've really gotten to the point where I don't push it as hard. I think that because I look at Facebook like the new fucked face. I mean, that came out so wrong. But, I mean, I look at it like a place.
Ass to mouth.
You know, I don't see anything serious. And for anybody who are loyal to Facebook, please, I'm not downing Facebook, but I just don't.
No.
Facebook as serious because
I don't either, to be honest with you.
I don't. First of all, Facebook has too many parameters for a business like mine.
Yes.
I can't post this. I can't post that. I can't say this.
Yeah,
I know. And you got people who want to censor you. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
My own mother don't fucking censor me, so I don't need somebody else censoring me. I
Some
censor
stranger
my own
shit.
Self.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who didn't like what I posted, then don't fucking look at my page.
You don't
need
to force to look at it. You know
and if
saying?
Your child, if you're not censoring your child enough to keep them the fuck up off of my page, then that's your fault as a parent or a guardian. That is not
Absolutely.
My fault.
Absolutely.
But instead, I get censored and I get told what I can't do because of it, and I'm like this, fuck you. I don't
exactly.
give a shit. You know, on Twitter, I'm not censored as much, and I don't lose sleep over it. You know, and I guess that's the biggest thing is I tell people I do not lose sleep over something like somebody censor me. I just don't. You know, and that's the one thing I will say in a heartbeat. I'm not going to lose sleep over it, and I won't lose sleep over it. But there are other people who will. I, for one, feel that it is completely unnecessary to lose sleep over something like that.
Oh, I've never known.
But, you know, that's why I said I really use Twitter more so for my business than anything else.
No, that's true.
So
that's true. I mean, as far as what you were saying, as far as where it could run into your private life, that's absolutely true. Because like when I go to my girl's house, I still conduct business. It really is business. When I, because like for example, you know, tomorrow I do my Benchwarmers show podcast, right? So by the time I get over to her house, I'm putting it out there, the link, you know what I mean? And I try not to stay on too long because I know, you know, the woman wants to be with me, you understand? And I don't, it's very hard. It's not easy. And she actually brings it up to me a lot, which is understandable. She goes, look, did you ever put the phone down?
And that's the whole thing. And,
and
I mean,
it's true, though. She's absolutely right. She's absolutely
it's
right.
It's part of what you're doing, and a lot of times people don't understand. And that's why, you know, I really said, how many people actually take that time out? I mean, how many people
right,
actually
though.
Take that break? Because I've made it a point to start taking a break, especially because I'm pretty much on Twitter 364. I won't say 365, but I'll say 364. And I'm trying to cut that down. I'm trying to give it where, you know, even God took a day off, okay?
Yeah, so, no kidding.
If God rested, why can't I, you know?
That's a good point, though. That's a good point.
So my thing is that since the Lord took a day off, he rested on Saturday. Well, Miss V is resting on Sunday because I'm still working on Saturday. But I think because it's a day for me to praise, I mean, you know, I do go to church. So when I start, I realize that when I let social media take over my Sunday, then I'm not taking that day of rest and I'm dishonoring him because I'm not giving myself a break and then I'm getting overloaded and I'm getting bombarded. And, you know, people may say I'm trying to get a political statement, but it's not really political. It's more for your own well-being. And I think when, especially a lot of parents out here, you know, me and you both are in, we could say, more single situations because we don't have children at home.
No.
But for people who have children at home, look at the effects. And for these young adults, you know, how the hell can you expect somebody to study in college if they're on fucking Twitter and Facebook all the time? Seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not their job. They need to be focusing on school or whatever else they got going on. And then if people have children, how can you honestly be focused on your children if you're always posting to Facebook and Twitter?
Yeah.
You know, like I said, in the case of us, we're like business people, but even we have to learn how to take a break because
we're not
JCPenney's and Kohl's and these big companies. We're
small.
Exactly. We don't have people that we hire to do this.
Yeah, let me say something real quick. That's an absolutely excellent point because in my way of thinking, I'm like, I'm hustling. I got to put myself out, you know what I mean? And, you know, I do as much as I can and try not to be too ridiculous about it, but I'm like, I can do more. I can do more. And then I think to myself, you know, I'm getting a little fucking crazy with this shit. You know, I mean, it's not like I'm just tweeting dumb shit. So it's not like that, which thank God I don't do. Most of my shit, if you see, it is, you know, legit
it's
shit.
It's business related. You're about sports, your podcast, or your shows that are coming up.
You know what I mean?
You got these dumb idiots. Have to take a break.
Oh, I had pancakes this morning. Oh, I'm going to the supermarket. Like, really? I mean, please get off. See, that's a waste. That's not what it's for. Okay? Some people take it to, like, as a diary and shit. And then you got people on there that want to tweet about their miserable life, and that's another thing that's like, do I really need to see this shit? I mean, really? You know, am I your psychiatrist or some shit? You know, no. It's supposed to be for business. The man, I wish I knew his name, because I said it in my podcast in the past, I thank God for this man that invented Twitter. And the reason why is because I would never have met people like you, and Naomi and all these other people that I get to network with that would, you know, where I am today.
And on
really
Facebook, you don't
doors.
Get that. This is really great for networking.
Exactly.
You know?
No doubt.
Facebook does not allow that for us. I mean, but like I said, even with that, we have to take
break
because we don't have a staff like other people. You know,
exactly.
It's us.
We don't make money in our sleep.
You know, if we don't take that break, who is, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing that people don't realize that they expect us to tweet 5 million times.
There is a certain limit that you try. Because I remember before I even got into doing my shows, it would be no problem for me not to be on Twitter for a day. It wouldn't be. No problem. But because I do what I do, you know, with all these, you know, I do 4 shows, if you think about it.
Your ass is a hustling ass.
Hey, I got to do what I got to do, you know. Yeah, you should be proud, and I thank you very much. so I do what I got to do, and I really try. I say, okay, because, you know, you have to at some point say to yourself, okay, within the last hour, how much have I tweeted? Because to me, that's really important. Because if you're tweeting way more than, I would say, at least over 5 times in 1 hour, that's a little, you got to like, okay, you got to little ease it up a little bit. You got to at least, and like you said, it really is healthy, especially if you're in a relationship, that when you, if you're going to see somebody, now I would never do it in a dinner. I've never, ever do it like that. You know, like if I went out to dinner with my family or with my lady, I would never like do shit like that. You know, because that's to me disrespectful. you know. Now, if someone's, if it's something important, like a text, where it's something important, then that's different. But other than that, if it's just some little bullshit, no, you know, put that shit away. You know, shut it off, or at least, you know, put it on vibrate, which I normally do.
But you know what? And that's why, you know, I put it out there because it was kind of a wake-up call to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. I exactly understand what you're saying. Exactly. It is, I mean, you just, but you know, then I say to them, then there's the other part of me. It's like, well, it's not like I'm tweeting bullshit. It's mostly,
you just
know,
got
business.
Excuses for everything. That's what it is.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, you
that's
got a point.
Bullshit
well, I'm a guy.
Right,
what are you expecting?
But that's a bullshit excuse right there.
That's what we men do.
But, okay, my other thing that I wanted to talk about, and we're going to talk about this real quick, and we're going to move on from it, because
sure.
In about 9 minutes, we've got our guest
but
on.
That's a great topic, though. I think that's a great topic, to be honest with you.
Which one?
Really, we were just talking about. I think people really do need to chill out on that shit.
Oh, we'll be talking about this more, because, you know, I have to have them walk. That's my wake-up call to myself when I do that.
Yeah, exactly. But go ahead, Ms. V.
But,
what was the next thing?
Okay, this is really starting to piss me off.
Oh, okay.
You're
go ahead.
Dead to me.
Yeah,
that
I saw
term
that.
Is a cruel and mean thing to say. And it's starting to annoy me because I'm hearing more adults my age and older use it. And I've been calling people out for the past few days on it. And the one thing that I'm telling them, I'm like, that's mean and cruel. Why would you say that? And they're like, because he is or she is. And I'm like, hey, what happens if this person drops dead after this?
Yeah, you did tweet that.
You just told them that you're dead to me. And I said, that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we teaching our children? Because, see, this is almost the new I hate you. Instead of saying, as children, I can't stand you, I hate you. You know, now it's you're dead to me. Well, I'm going to tell you, people, I would, as a person, maybe this is something that's just really too passionate for me, or I'm too emotional, but when I think of it, I mean, I wake up every day and I talk to my mother every day. Even if we only talk for 5 minutes, we talk to each other every single day.
Yeah.
I talk to my grandparents at least once a week. If I don't talk to them, I know what's going on.
Gotcha.
And my parents are young, so I'm not one of those people who say, oh, I'm going to wake up and they're going to be gone. I hope and pray they're not gone no time soon. But my grandmother is in her 80s, and I could never imagine saying to my grandmother, you're dead to me, because she could easily be gone. And maybe we need to look at the words that we say to people. I don't care how mad you are at somebody. When you say you're dead to a person, that's it. That's finished. There's no way to go from that. And if a person is dead to you, you can't borrow. Listen, I'm going to be honest. When was the last time you borrowed money from a dead person? When was the last time a dead person gave you a hug? When was the last time a dead person had your back? So when you say you're dead to me, if you really mean that, then you don't need to be dealing with that person, because I'm telling you, somebody tell me I'm dead to them, then let me be fucking dead to you, because we have nothing to do with each other. You're not going to be dead to me, but if I'm truly dead to you, that's the finish. That's the end. There's nowhere to go after that. And we've got too many young people doing this, and I, you know, one of the people I said this to, so I said, what if your son said this to your wife? Oh, I would beat his ass. Then why the hell are you saying that to people? I always tell people, if you wouldn't want your children to say it to you or your spouse or someone, don't say it.
True.
Children repeat what we say, and I'm dead to you has really become a pet peeve of mine. Because I'm hearing it, and it hurts my feelings. You don't have to be talking to me. It really hurts. That's the one thing, and I think that's what gets me the most. When I hear somebody say, you're dead to me, you don't even have to be talking to me. It just hurts my feelings to hear that. Because I've lost people I loved, and I've been blessed to not have said that. I've made sure that I will always remember my final words to my parents. Every day will be, I love you. So if I don't talk to my mother tomorrow, I know that when I spoke to her today, my final words to her was, I love you. When I last spoke to my father, I love you. My daughter, I love you. That's how I end my conversations. I do not end them with, you're dead to me. I end them with, I love you. That's how I end them. As pissed as I get, and let's get this clear, I'm a passionate, I'll cuss out a motherfucker in a heartbeat. Let's get that shit clear. I will cuss out a motherfucker in a heartbeat.
Yes, you will.
But while I'm cussing you out, if you were somebody I truly care and I love, when I hang up that phone, the motherfucker, I'm mad as hell at you. Yeah, I love you. But, you know, it's like my final word. I'm getting out. I fucking love ass. I'm mad as fuck at you right now, but I love you. And I think that, you know, we just need to try to pick a better set of words to say, because the thing I'm hearing is that this is said out of passion. This is said out of anger.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Find some of the shit out of anger. Because I can tell you, you're dead to me. You say it to me, I'm through.
Mm-hmm.
It's too passionate for me. It's too deep. You know, because I couldn't imagine it. I mean, you know, every day I wake up wondering if I'm going to get the phone call if one of my grandparents are gone, and I could never imagine having that final word said. That'd be the last thing I said to a person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my little spill on that. And I know you kind of disagreed with me on that earlier day.
I did. I don't remember saying anything about that.
I thought that's what you were responding to.
Really?
When you tweeted.
I thought
that's what you were responding to. Let's see. Let me read your tweet.
Let me see. Let me look back at my history.
Okay. It depends on who that person is, Miss B.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, I did say that. I give you a wink. Yeah. Well, it's kind of true. It depends on who it is.
I really don't agree with that.
You know, it depends. If it's really somebody that's not even worth your time, then that's a different story. But
yeah,
if it's somebody you know for a long time, then that's
normally
different.
How many times do we really say that to people that we don't give a shit about? That's
no,
the whole
true.
Thing.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. But you know how some people think that they're more important in your life than they really are? And when they say some shit like that, you just go, okay, whatever. I guess you really thought it differently. But if it's somebody that's really important, to tell you the truth, that comment is more of like an adolescent comment. That's more of like a kid saying something like that. An adult shouldn't say.
But we shouldn't even have adults saying that. We shouldn't even condone
but
them
exactly.
That.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's why
sounds,
I
like we,
said that as adults, we have to really say this shit is not acceptable. Because at the end of the day, it's not fucking acceptable. You know, it's no way to get around it. We could go back and forth. I'm not sugarcoating that shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really that necessary like that. You know, there's other ways of saying that without saying, you know, you're dead to me. You could just say, look, you know, I just don't want to talk to you no more.
Get the fuck out of my face.
Oh, get the fuck. You know what? Even get the fuck out of my face is better than you're dead to me. Think about that.
You know what? Not my favorite word is go to hell.
Yeah. Just go to hell.
You know what? When I tell them go to hell and they say, well, you going with me. Okay, we'll meet down there together.
But then there'd be some people that think that's really bad, just as bad as you're dead to me, going to hell, you know.
But when you tell somebody, go to hell, not, I wish you were in hell, just say, go to hell. And normally when you tell a person to go to hell, they done did some shit where you just be like, fuck you, go to hell. Because you're talking stupid.
Yeah.
That's not even, normally when you tell a person to go to hell, you're not mad at them. Think about it. You don't tell people that you're
mad
at them, go to hell.
Yeah, true. That's not really
you're dead to me is what you say to somebody you're mad at, and that's like the finesse. But go to hell normally is, you know, somebody talking out the side of their neck like, you know what? You know what? It's normally I say go to hell. This was back in my younger days.
Okay.
When I was out there being loose, you know, and made a mistake and maybe stepped with somebody who was beneath me. And, you know, my girlfriend's like, girl, you know that motherfucker, da-da-da-da-da. I'd be like, bitch, go to hell. You know, because I don't want to hear this shit, you know. I know I fucked up, you know. I shouldn't have sat on that dick. That was, you know, that was a mistake. Let's not rehash that memory of a bad time. That's normally when I tell people to go to hell.
Now you go to hell.
Go to hell, because I ain't trying to hear that nonsense. You know, so for me, that's not a hateful thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I mean,
your
really
dead to me is hateful.
Yeah, I mean, that takes a lot for you to, you know, it takes a lot because you're not really, you seem the type of person that's not really easily rattled. So for that to really bother you, it must really strike a nerve. you know, that type of comment.
You know what? I think that, you know what? I'm an emotional person, and that's just it. It's the finesse. It's, you know, that's the end, you know. I would never want to wake up and know that I said that to someone and I get a phone call that that person is gone. I would lose my fucking mind. I would. You know, and that's why I want people to think about, what if you got the phone call after you said that to somebody, that that person had passed? How do you handle my
final thoughts? That's a horrible. You know what, real quickly, that is absolutely correct, because just before my mother's father passed, the last time they talked was an argument. So, and that really bothered her for a long time. So,
you know, and that's really the finesse. I mean,
so I
haven't done it, but I don't think I could live with myself if that was the final thing I said to someone and they weren't here no more. But now we're going to go into bigger and better things, because we done got all sentimental.
you want a Kleenex?
Yeah, do need one.
Look at the Oprah moment right there.
Yeah, you know. Some
I love
people,
you too, Miss Ree.
I love you too, James.
I love you. Can I get a hug over the phone, even though that sounds weird?
Big hug. I know they said these motherfuckers are so crazy.
But I understand, seriously, but I understand what you're saying. In all seriousness, I understand. You know, I especially people you really love. Like, I think a comment like that, if you say that to somebody you really love, I think that's really stepping over the line. You could say something else, like, just get away from me. You know, like you said, that's a different story. Yeah,
get
I think you...
You know, it's like, get the fuck up out of my face. I can't talk
to
you right
ways.
Now, but don't do that.
Yeah. You know.
And I, like I said, I've been hearing it a lot from grown... I think when I was hearing it from younger people, it wasn't bothering me, but then I started hearing people my age and older saying it, and it started pissing me off.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why the fuck is this coming out of your mouth, and now it's... It became hurtful. It became something that it probably shouldn't have came, but it became very hurtful. And I started speaking up about it because I think that if someone doesn't speak up about it, that it will continue to go on. You know, it's that's almost like a form of bullying to me when you say that to a person.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's almost like you're dead to me unless you do what I want you to do. You know, which is a form of bullying indirectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I mean, not to sound like, you know, we're a better generation or anything, but we come from a generation that we should know better, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we really should.
To be honest, I mean, I'm not trying to see, it sounds like I'm shitting on the new generation. It's not that. It's just that I think the way we was brought up was a little different and a lot less bullshit as far as, like, well, you can't do this to your child or this, that, and the third, and...
I think my kids
ass. Yeah, I know, yeah. I'm just saying, yeah. Well, you know, I'm glad you continue the tradition. I'm just saying, I think that there's a lack of that in order, you know, the kids don't respect their parents anymore, and their parents are scared of their own children, which if I ever said this to my mom would laugh in my face. It'll never fucking happen, and that's how it should be.
You would still have your teeth?
Yeah.
But you know what? We got to introduce tonight's guest because I know he's holding on and he's like, these motherfuckers
the
are just talking.
What the fuck
is going
about?
On with them?
talking about generation and I'm dead to you
and big hugs
and Twitter and social media. Like, what the hell kind of show is this? I thought it was V's After Dark, not Oprah After Dark.
Hey, you know what? I ain't mad at Oprah, so you're not going to knock my girl.
I'm not. She's not dead to me. She's not.
Okay. But without further ado, I have got to welcome tonight's guest, the handsome, sexy ass Rob Piper.
What's up?
Hey, welcome to the show, baby. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank
hey,
you
up,
for
man?
Being on.
Yeah.
Good.
Hey, Rob, good. This is James. James, this is Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Good, James.
Hey, what's up, Rob? How
you
doing?
I'm pretty good. And yourself?
Oh, can't complain, man. Just doing our thing. I know it sounds different when you were listening to what we were talking about, but...
Oh, no, it's all good. I actually was on cue, and I was on point with actually what y'all was talking about, because I have the same, like, mutual conversations with friends about, you know, those topics I was talking about. So I was really listening, and I agree to a lot of things you were talking about that I caught already.
Feel free to chime in. But for everybody who don't know who you are, because, see, I haven't seen the pictures. Tell everybody about you.
What a shock that is. Shocker. Go ahead, Ms.
V. So, Rob, tell everybody about yourself, sweetie.
Tell you about myself. I mean, ask me another question. What do you want to know about me?
James, you want to start or should I start? I'll start.
All right. All right.
I'll go first.
Yeah, go ahead. Ladies first tonight. Ladies first.
Okay. You know what I want to ask you about?
That
best male newcomer nomination that you got this year, AVN.
Well,
how
was that? It was an exhibit.
You know what? I got AVN in my brain.
I mean, hopefully this year I'll be nominated for AVN. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I put a lot of good work out there so that those situations come to light. So hopefully this year, AVN, I will be nominated, possibly. Take home award. If not, you know, hey, as long as I keep pleasing my fans and keep getting hired by these great producers and working with these great women, I will always be a fan favorite.
All I can say is that I would like to have seen. Oh, Lord. Okay. What inspired you to get into the industry?
Actually, nothing really inspired me to get into it. I was always around the lifestyle. I was always around it. I was brought up around it. A lot of friends and family. I was 9 years old when I was introduced to this lifestyle. So
I want to listen to this. Tell me about 9 years old. Wait a minute. We're going to rewind.
Me,
huh? 9 years old and being introduced to it. You know what? Let's sit back and listen a little bit.
You're the man. This is good.
I mean, lifestyle, you know, I was raised in it. I was brought up around it, you know, since I was 9. You know, I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. So, I mean, it ain't really too much, you know, you can do down there, but actually, you know, find one or two options to do. So, me personally, you know, I was brought up in a household of girls. You know, I have two sisters and stuff like that. But, you know, I just always wanted to do my own thing and always looked at life different from how everybody else looked at it, my mom, my dad, my sisters, everybody. So, it's like, for me, once I did actually start watching pornography, the porn, I actually used to look at it for ways of wanting to know why this person is making this noise in this position, or what pleasure is this guy or this woman getting out of that position. So, or why did she spurt? What was that? You know what I mean? So for me, it was just more so of knowledge and wanting to actually, like, see one day. I was like, okay, you know what? I think I could do this. I think I may want to do this. And then people used to always tell me that, man, you're going to start doing this, you're going to start doing that, you're going to do movies, you're going to get into porn. I was like, you know what? One day I just sat down and I said, when I go to L.A. for the first time, that's the first thing I want to do. I want to see about pornography. I want to see about what the porn world is like. So one day, I came to L.A. I was bored one day up on the Internet, and I responded to an ad on Craigslist. And my agency, OC Modeling, had posted an ad, and from there it's been all uphill. And here I am today right now.
You're a brave dude to answer something on Craigslist, man.
I mean, everything is basically, you know, like in text for you to read, so you know what's right and what to respond to and what not. But, you know, it was something that I already had looked into and I actually thought that I wanted to do. So me, always follow, you know, my intuition of who I am and knowing that what I'm into. So it's like, for me, it wasn't nothing out of context. For me, it was just more so of, you know, something that I wanted to do, something I thought I could do. And, you know, I can. So it's like, here I am right now. And actually, you know, trying to make my legacy mark in the industry and, you know, other things as well. So that was that.
Shit, I'm still stuck on fucking 9 years old. Damn.
See, that's the thing that's amazing. I haven't even heard of a woman say that shit.
I mean, I lived a fast life.
I think I was watching porn when I was young. You know, I haven't been brave enough to get in front of no camera that I know of.
I love to put on the show. I love to be, you know, sometimes the center of attention. It all depends on what attention it is. But for that attention, I don't mind. I don't mind putting on a show for people and giving people a good show. Why not? That's my passion, to please people.
Look at that. You hear that, Ms. V?
I heard that. You know what? Shut up, James. Rob, what are some of your films, baby? Because, you know, you know what? One thing I can say about you, you are a hard person to get information on out there, to be honest. Like,
really?
Yeah, when I Googled you, there's a lot of pictures, but as far as, like, movies per se, I couldn't find anything. But then I'm not that good with Google unless I'm, like, really, really
well,
specific
actually,
for whatever reason.
If you Google me, put in Rob Piper porn star, and everything
okay.
will pop up.
See, I didn't do that. That's where I messed up. I didn't do porn star.
You're bad.
Everything you want to see and know, we'll show you. It will pop up.
Yeah, movies are one, I bet.
Well, like I said, I kept seeing pictures, you know, and it ain't nothing wrong with looking, but I'm a voyeur, so I'm...
No, okay.
That's, I ain't going to lie, I know I'm a voyeur.
Right, yeah,
I'm watching all
that. Y'all know that by now, that, you know, they're not real fans of the show. Let's put it that way.
Oh, no.
It's evil thoughts.
Sure.
So, you know what, I'm going to ask the question that I'm curious about, because, see, for the female fans, this is not for me personally, so let me put the disclaimer out there. This is not for me personally. This is for the female fans.
Okay.
How big is your dick?
Wow. Good question.
Straight to the point.
I think it's 10.5 inches.
How many?
10.5.
10.5?
Yeah.
Damn. Is that hard or limp?
No, I think it's 10.5. It might be 11. I don't know, but I think it's 10.5. I'm gonna say 10.5. Yeah.
Fuck. Hey,
yeah, trust me, men measure our shit when we're flaccid or when we're hard. Trust me.
That's average to me, though. I mean, because there's other guys who have a better situation than that. So,
yeah.
I mean, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, damn. Wait a minute. I'm the female. I'm just saying, damn. You know, I'm like, damn. Because that's a lot of damn dick. You know, that's a lot. You know. And
it's not that bad.
I'm a dick connoisseur, so I know what a lot of damn dick is, okay?
Okay.
I know that's a lot, you know. That ain't the average fucking dick. By no means. Black or white. Just so y'all know,
man.
For all you listeners, because y'all want to say this is not the average dick, black or white.
Okay, so I have a question. Have you seen any of my movies?
No, I haven't. I've seen your dick, though.
Oh, interesting.
She just went straight for the point. She's the type of person.
Okay.
She don't want to see through a great movie. She just wants to get to the plot of the movie, and that's it, I guess.
I do fast forward because I can't.
Oh my God, are you like that?
I can't stand watching females with guys on film because I feel like most of them. I could sit there and I could watch when they've done a voiceover on a film. Remember, I watch enough porn, and I know people do the voiceovers also.
Well,
honestly, if you watch the right porn, you will not be listening to voiceovers.
True.
Like honestly, because there's a lot of great performers out here, especially in the industry that we work in. A lot of great performers, and you know, passion is something that we drive on. Good energy is something that we drive on. I mean, you know, when you get on set and you go on to work and you look at the email, you look at the call sheet, and it's like, okay, I work with this person today. Whew, this is going to be a good day. There's nothing like working with a good, passionate person who
but
actually really
appreciates
it.
But I'm just saying, that's why I fast forward, because if I'm looking at a film, and once I start realizing that the noise ain't going quite right, you know.
Okay, well, check this out. I got a question for you. Who is your favorite top performer that you like to watch?
Who do I like to watch? Naomi, when I'm not covering my eyes.
I have no problem. I don't cover my ass.
Well,
I watch her other.
I mean, you know why I cover my eyes with Naomi. It's,
I know why.
You know
why. Relax.
You need to tap into the industry.
See, I have to watch people that I don't know, because when I watch people that I know, then I have a problem watching people I know. Because for me, because I'm around you guys so much when I'm out in Vegas and I'm at the different industry parties, when I watch that, if it's somebody that I've been hanging with, I have a serious problem watching people that I hang with. Now, if I don't hang with the person, then that's just me. I'm just serious. That's just me. Because a lot of people say they could watch. I can't watch people that I hang with. Because if I'm hanging with you and I'm talking to you on the phone on a regular basis, I can't sit here and have a conversation with you on the phone and then go pop your dog on DVD in for me and my man to be doing it. I just can't. Because I'm going to be like, damn, you know, well, what was this conversation we was just having? And, no, I can't do that because the conversations don't be going with what I'm watching on film. So it's like if it's somebody I'm really cool with in the industry, I can't watch them. And they laugh at me about it because they'll be like, but you got our films. I'm like, I got your films because I critique them and I'm talking about them on my show and stuff. But I have to really, I have to get high to do that. You know, and I'm sitting there with a drink in my hand, like,
Man, getting high. What the hell?
You got to put a muzzle on your mouth and handcuffs around your hands, huh?
You know, it's like when I watch Naomi, I have a drink in my hand because I talk about how big her ass done got, you know.
Yeah.
But then that's the same conversation I have when I'm with her in person. But if it's somebody like,
that's a good point.
But it's like with Prince Joshua, because him and my man know each other. It's hard for me to watch him on film because I'm like, okay, I can't, you know, it's weird watching him knowing that him and my man are cool. So
it's like
certain things that I won't do, and it's just me. But I think it has something to do with my age also, where I have that point in my age where if this is who I'm cool with, I'm not going to be all up in their stuff because I don't want to know how they're doing, even if it's on film and I know what they're doing privately is different and I know what they're doing as work. I just can't see it that way because this is somebody who, you know, if I'm hanging with them and, you know, I'll be like, damn, yeah, Prince's shit is that big. Be like, damn. You know, my man see me staring at the package, you know, that ain't a good look. That's not a good look, you know. Me, him, and my man, and somebody else out to dinner, and my eye is focused on a package that don't belong to me. That's not a good thing.
Right, I feel like
it's funny. It's turned into an interview with Ms. V instead of.
I know. How does she get reversed? This shit always happens to me.
Probably like,
okay,
I'm gonna ask you something.
I know, he just flipped the script on me real quick, like, fuck.
He said, nah, I'm going to ask you some shit now.
But how is it? Now, I read somewhere that you're a producer also.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, actually, I produced a film that, shout out to West Coast, they allowed me to shoot my own POV movie, and I shot that, but I'm actually right now, I'm working on putting out my own movies right now and actually doing a couple of things that I have in the works right now. So, yeah, I did do a little directing, and I am right now taking a lot of advice and observing a lot of things so I can get in that line of work more often and more frequently.
See, I do my research on people.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I do my research.
Good job, Ms.
Research is good. Research is good.
But that's actually a good thing that I see that this is a smart dude because, see, he's seen beyond the past of just being a performer, and that's where he's using porn as a good plateau. You know what I mean?
But you know what's crazy? It's not even like it's bigger than porn, though. Like, for me, it's bigger than porn because for this, I look at it too as, like, you know, porn is porn, you know what I mean? And no matter what it is you do and no matter what it is you're into, it's just a stepping stone and a door opener to do other things, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, like, I'm not a person to stay one-track-minded in one lane, you know what I mean? Like, normers, and I'm just an ambitious person, personally. I just love ambition. I love to just take on different challenges and, you know, get into certain things that I don't, that challenge me for better. And more so just, you know, create a legacy and build a legacy that I can leave behind to where it's like, you know, I have something to leave behind that the world can fucking appreciate, or I can have some part of fashion, or some, like, just different areas in life that I want to be a part of once I'm gone, or, you know, for whoever, my kids, you know, whatever. So, whatever, you know, it's something good to just be a part of and have, you know, have something going for yourself outside of just one thing. I hustle five ways, so it's like, if I can have 3 to 4 to 5 incomes come in, you know, cool, I'm great. But at the same time, I want to make it be something that's worth
wait a minute, how old are you? 4 or 5 incomes? Maybe I need to move to L.A.
Yeah, you're a young dude, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty young. I think I am, at least.
How old is pretty young?
He's like, I'm not saying shit. I ain't telling you my age.
Listen, I earned, you know what, I've been a cougar for a while. I ain't got no problem saying that shit.
Yes, you are. Yes. But see, that's a good thing, what he's doing. See, the people that I've interviewed, you know, female and male being on this show, you know, you don't hear them saying, you know, almost about over 95% of them say, okay, this is something to reach another, to open another door and do something else. And see, that's the smart way of doing things. You know what I mean? To expand your brand, as they say.
Of course. You got to look at it to where you're a walking mogul, or you're trying to create yourself to become a walking mogul.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And for me, it's like, you know, I look at this as right now what I'm starting. I'm actually starting to build right now a corporation under certain things. And right now, you know, I have RFS Lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? It's right now, that's something that's in the works right now. It's under construction. I have my own headline that I'm working on right now. And opposed to putting together a possible, if all goes well, a film project. So,
look at that, see?
You know, just staying humble and staying busy, man, and just, you know, never taking nothing for granted, and, you know, living for the day, living in. That's just that. And when tomorrow brings, I deal with that tomorrow. But for right now, I'm a plan. And I'm gonna put together something that's worth my while and worth everybody else while, as far as being a part of what I'm bringing to the table.
There you go.
Well, I do have another question for you.
Go ahead.
How did you come up with your name? Because, you know, everybody have a special way of how they come up with their name. How did you come up with Rob Piper? Because when I hear your name, I think about the Pied Piper.
Actually, you know, R. Kelly, you know, he was a person who I looked at as like a pleaser. He was a person who, no matter what was wrong, he made it feel right, you know what I'm saying, towards a woman. And the thing was, it's like the Pied Piper, you know what I mean? And I looked at R. Kelly as a person, towards the music, you know, it set whatever mood was wrong right, you know what I'm saying, and whatever was right wrong. So for me, the Pied Piper, and then being a fan of wrestling and fucking looking at that and thinking about Roddy Piper, and then actually I was listening to, and it got broke down like in syllables, and it was like pipe her, but it was Piper. But and I was like, you know what? My name is going to be Rob Pipe Her. And I was like, you know what? Nah, it's going to be the Pied Piper. Did not say Rob Piper. So no, just that. And then, you know, it gives different ways for people to play with it. If they want to call you whatever they want to call you, or just create a different name that they may call you just for their personal own reasons or whatever. But I don't know, just Rob Piper was something that I felt like it was cool, and I just want to stick with that. It was fresh. It was cool. So it was something different, and nobody never used it. Nobody never had it. So I just wanted to just do something different, create my own legacy, and build off that.
Wow.
That's perfect, man. So do you have your name copyrighted yet?
Actually, I just was in the works of looking at that, actually.
Yeah, do that as soon as possible, bro.
Yeah. I thought it was in the works with that. So I'm actually working on my website right now. So
cool.
That was the whole reason why I actually looked into that.
Exactly.
How many tats do you have?
How many tats?
Yeah.
Just 17 right now.
You seem to be pretty tatted up.
Yeah,
how
I
much
mean,
you press?
Actually, I don't really know how much I've been pressed. I just work out with 225.
That's fine. That's good enough. You don't want to get, like, you know, too big. In your line of work.
I just like to stay lean. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Stay cut. You know what I mean? And keep my body intact and stay swift and stay speedy.
Mm. There you go. The two key ingredients. In
of course. Of course.
Get too big. He's a smart man we have here. Smart man. Absolutely, absolutely. So let me ask you something, because coming from a guy, right? Because, yeah. I mean, it's very – I have props to all you guys, you know, men and women that do this line of work, because it's not really easy to do, you know.
Right.
I mean, you know, it takes a lot of, to me, courage, you know, to do something like that. So, like, let's say when you go on a set, right, and it's, let's say it's a woman you never, like, worked with before, do you, like, talk to her in the beginning, like, look, you know, it's okay, this, that, and the third, or it depends on, like, on the woman sometimes or the director? Or, like, how, take me into, like behind the scenes, if you could, about how that worked out, you know, to when you, before you start a scene.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Well, first and foremost, I'm from the South, so the hospitality is there, the meet and greet, just the general maintenance of manners is there. So if I see anybody, no matter if I'm on set, no matter if I'm walking to the store, walking up the street, whatever, I'm going to speak to anybody, you know what I mean? So when I first walk in a room, everybody I have to speak to, it's just me. That is how I was raised. So I'm going to speak to everybody. And a female, you know, once it gets to the point to where, you know, she's done with her, like, hair and makeup, or we just sitting around just, you know, just blowing time past, you know, I ask, you know, like, certain things about her, or how's her day, and, you know, whatever, and just to break the ice of just, okay, well, who's this guy? Is he an asshole today? Who I'm working with? For me personally, you know, I'm thankful, you know, a lot of people take recognition to who I am, and people who don't know who I am, they ask around and people talk. And, you know, I've never had no bad rapport of women of who I worked with. Everybody always gave good information about me. So I'm thankful that people appreciate, you know, my stature and who I am on set and off set. So, it's just always just that, you know, you see people, you meet them, and, you know, from there, just general conversation. Nothing no different from, you know, as if, you know, y'all talking right now on the radio. And nothing no different. Y'all coworkers. So it's like, for me, I respect everybody, first and foremost. So it's like, you know, just get to know a little about a person and crack the ice a little bit. I may massage the girl or whatever, because in this line of work, you be tense. You don't really have time to sit down and do general maintenance on your body. And then it's like, okay, for me, like I told you, I'm a pleaser. Whatever I can do to relax and comfort the situation and make it as if we've been knowing each other for like 15, 39 years, then great, that's what I'm going to do. But for the most part, I want you to be relaxed, because I want our scene to be one of the best scenes that have been shot this month. Or this week, you know what I mean? So, and just me taking pride in everything I do, like, my legacy will be behind and left in good eyes, because anytime you see any work or any project with me, I want you to appreciate it, and I want you to value it, so.
Yeah. That's a excellent approach to it. You know, I think in anything, in whatever you do in life, that's a great approach too, because.
Of course, man.
You know, it's, to me, that's how, you know, I totally agree with what you say, because it's actually no different, like, if you're, like, going on a date, you know, first date or something like that, you know, or a job interview or something where you just, if you know how to, you have the gift of gab and you're very social, it actually
right.
works to your advantage.
Yeah, it does. I mean, your first impression is your last impression. You know what I'm saying? Like the first 7, 10 seconds, 30 seconds with me, I want you to know that, okay, yeah, I'm respectable. He's cool. You know what I mean? And that's just that. And then from there, whatever the next step brings, then that's what you allow it to bring, because you felt comfortable with taking the next step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No matter what, I'm going to be myself and be humble. I mean, I don't
exactly.
see no reason to why people come on set. Or why people just approach anything in life. Not even just set, just approach anything in life with attitude. I mean, it's life. Live it. Be happy. Because there's
right.
a lot of people other worse situations than you.
Exactly. That's exactly why. That's my motto all the time, too. You can always be worse, but, you know, I guess it's different for some other people, man, but I definitely feel what you're saying, because I totally follow that same motto, because, you know, you got to go out and do it. You know, you only got one life to live, you know, take advantage of each day. And that's an excellent formula for success, in my book.
Appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. What's
you
up,
Missy?
You're right.
Wait a minute, I done looked at a few pictures.
Oh, you were taking care of some?
I done looked at a few pictures.
Uh-huh.
I done
checked out. Yeah,
here
I am being professional. Look what you're doing. Yeah, boy, Miss B.
I'm being very professional. I'm black on blonde.
Yeah,
you're
professionally masturbating.
Hey, somebody got to do it.
Hey, there you go.
Wait a minute, I didn't even got my research. I got your age now.
And
your shoe size.
Wait a minute. Time out. Everything you see is true, so you don't know for a fact. Be fair.
Everything, I'll probably say 99.9% is true.
Okay, but
that
one-tenth, you know.
Well,
percentage of something, it probably may just come from a misunderstanding, or a person who probably misread me and told you something different about me because they don't like me or whatever.
Exactly,
reason.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know, but hey, I'm a good guy.
There you go. There you go. So, okay, so what's this shoe size say there, Ms. V? Let's see if it's correct.
11 and a half.
Is that true?
Bam. True.
Okay. Yeah, one matches his length. Look at that. So that myth is actually true for his case. You know how they say you look like, or the hands or some shit, whatever. Yeah, so for his case, it's actually true.
I'm going to give it to you straight, me.
Let's see. They got his age up there. Damn, Lord. Oh, Lord. Okay.
That's true, too. I think it's true.
All I can say is damn.
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 So you listen to his advice when you Google back and you put a porn star at the end of his name, huh?
Yes. Yes, I did. I got a whole lot of information.
Yeah, you got a whole lot, huh? A whole lot of dictation.
I got a whole lot of information.
Yeah, good for you.
Know?
Hey, it's your show.
You know what? Damn it! Don't make me work. Don't make me make you work the weekend that I go to Exotica. Where you just be listening to the fun.
Oh yeah, that's torture.
God. Oh Lord.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
I gotta get back to working here.
Yes.
So
Yes, ma'am.
You know what? I like that most of my you know what? This is my thing. So
but
do I
you
make
in
you
LA. Don't nobody make me nervous. Hot one thing, nervous, that takes a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's only one person who really makes me nervous, and they know what they do. But
Okay.
Let me Google that.
You know what? Damn it.
Go ahead, Missy. Go ahead.
You know what? The person who makes me nervous already know they make me nervous because whenever I'm pissed at them and I say I want to talk, I can't say shit in front of their face. I have to say it via the phone.
Oh.
So they know they make me nervous.
Okay.
That's deep.
No, just me. Because when we get face-to-face, we fuck. So.
Oh, there you go. Okay. There you go. Straight to the point.
But back to my question. So you're originally from Louisiana. Now, I just recently, for the first time, went to New Orleans as an adult.
I didn't go
during Mardi Gras. I just went. It was the run of the bulls that was going on when I was there. So I can only imagine, I mean, because I was actually in the French quarters. So the shit that I saw down there.
Yeah, imagine.
And the information I found out, and this was just being there, and you done went to L.A., because it's like, shit, you came from a freaky-ass background if you was hanging out down there, because they said that was the original Sin City.
Well, I mean, New Orleans is New Orleans. I want to say I hung out in the CBD area. Like I'm from the Lower Ninth Ward. The thing that I was into was the street. Like I was raised in the street. It's just my family of certain people, and just the New Orleans culture. It's in every household, no matter what household it is. At some point, it's in that household. At some point. I've been around the Bourbon Street area and, you know, the French Quarters and Decatur and everything like that. I mean, I'm from New Orleans, 24 years in New Orleans, and, you know, so I have to be a part of everything in my city. But I mean, it's a lot of great history, history.
I did a lot of learning when I went down there, because that's the beauty when you got flaky ass girlfriends. When you go by yourself, you get to see a whole lot. For my
freaky-ass
girlfriends who's listening to my show, you know who you motherfuckers are.
But you giving their numbers to me, please?
You know what's funny? The thing about New Orleans is it's a lot of things that go on down there that people overlook. They just think the food, the partying, and it's a lot of good history. It's a lot of good history that you really need to know about New Orleans, because a lot of things can happen to you down there if you don't know about the history of New Orleans. And it stems from way back, the 40s, the 50s. 70s, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, New Orleans have a real deep history, and is a very history that you will want to look into, because it's important just to know, like, what you're up against and what you're a part of, and where did I just come to?
That's true, though, because there is something about New Orleans. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because I had a past life or something, but there's always something about New Orleans that intrigues me. And it's more than what Ms. V was talking about. Like, I agree. It's more than just the Mardi Gras stuff like that. It's the history. It's something about the culture. And I don't know. Like, one of the things I like a lot, other than other places, is that when a person dies, they really celebrate their life.
Of course.
You know, and I love that. You know, it's not, I mean, don't get me wrong, you're sad, but you're celebrating his life, you're dancing, you're playing music. I think that's an awesome way of doing it.
Yeah, you know? I mean, the culture is strong in New Orleans. I mean, you know, from what we call second lines, that's what the repast is of a person's death. You know, when we celebrate and we get in the streets with the second line bands and the families and the whole just community, and we just party and we go from one ward to the next ward, and we everywhere. We're in the streets, you know what I mean? And we just celebrating and having fun. But New Orleans is a cursed city. You know what I'm saying? Quiet as kept. It's a cursed city, and it has a lot of.
Well, I have a cousin that's buried in New Orleans. Well, I don't think he's actually buried in New Orleans. He's buried in Jefferson Parish. So I don't know what parish New Orleans is on.
Yeah, he's buried in Louisiana. He's buried in Louisiana at some point. It's not New Orleans. Like, a lot of people get confused too. Like, New Orleans is basically just once you leave the Bourbon Street, the canal, the CBD area. Once you cross over that bridge to the West Bank and you cross over the Mississippi River, like, you're not in New Orleans anymore. You're part of another, like, county or parish or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, because my cousin we were in Jefferson Parish. When I went as an adult, I went to New Orleans. But when I was there, I was younger, we were in Jefferson Parish. That's when I realized how big the fucking roaches was down there. I was like, damn, I ain't never seen.
You mean worse than New York City? But that's saying a lot.
You know what? Yeah. Because of it being so much swampland down there, I had never seen.
Well, that's true.
Big. I'm 13 years old, and I'm down there, and my aunt, she's like, oh, that's normal. And I'm like, what the fuck you mean that's normal? We don't have roaches up north like this.
Yeah, those motherfuckers come up to you and say, hey, what's up? How you doing?
Walk around with you.
You know, shit.
That's what they do down there, because, and like I said, that's why I had to go back as an adult, because my memory of being down in Louisiana was when my cousin passed when I was 13, so
it wasn't a good memory.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We had fun. We went down to the quarters, but I mean, when you're down there for a funeral, it's a whole lot different.
It's a different mindset. Yeah.
And I was 13, you know, I couldn't party. I mean, shit, you know. Plus, I was too busy beating off my stepmother off my dad. You know, she thought she was going to come home. You know, maybe that city really, you know what, not trying to be funny, but you're right, it probably is cursed, because that bitch got down there, forgot that my daddy was married to my mama and thought that she was going to fuck him while I was there.
Man.
Wow.
That's when she found out she could get her ass beat by a 13-year-old. She found that out, and that's when my daddy found out that he couldn't do shit around me. Because my mom, he told my mom, he's like, you know, she's going to beat her ass. And I can compliment him to this very day on getting ready to beat that bitch ass. My dad and mom both talk about it. They both talk about how I wasn't going to let her sleep with my daddy. I had to remind her, that's your ex-husband. My daddy now.
You know,
so maybe it is cursed, because it brought out the devil in that bitch.
Well, there's a lot of, I mean, I remember seeing, not too long ago, it might have been early this year, it was a 48 hours documentary on CBS about New Orleans. And the reason they showed it, it was about the marching bands, which is awesome. You know, when they have like a year, you know, I think it's a yearly type of thing. I mean, I forget the whole thing, but what the point of the documentary was that these are kids that are in rough neighborhoods. And I remember one dude was like saying, New Orleans is the only place where around the corner is a poor neighborhood, then you go across another block and there's a rich area.
Yeah, I mean, like, it poverty is there. Like, poverty is strong in New Orleans. Like, I tell people, you know, like, everywhere is a ghetto, everywhere is a hood. You know what I mean? Poverty is everywhere. But
you want to take
a walk on some real rough and rugged streets. You know what I mean? Like, you have your Chicago, you have your Detroit, you have your New York, you have your Baltimore. You know what I mean?
True.
You have your Baltimore, you have New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You have places where you really need to visit, and you can get the real effects of what's real, you know what I mean, and what reality puts out. And in New Orleans, sure, I can assure a lot of people, you go to New Orleans and you really go to New Orleans,
yeah,
like what's considered like the real New Orleans, you'll see a lot.
When I asked to see it, you know, because I didn't want to go on them tours, but I went by myself because, like I said, fakey-ass fucking girlfriends, you know, because when I go places, I like to learn, like, the culture and the history. Like, when I go to Vegas, I know parts of Vegas that people don't know, you know. Most people know the Vegas Strip. I know where the hood is in Vegas. They be laughing at me. I know how to find the Verizon store, the grocery store. I know parts of fucking Vegas. The motherfuckers be like, how the hell you know how to get around Vegas? I know where the hood is in Vegas. Shit. Bitch done walked around Vegas. I know how to get around in North Vegas and South Vegas. I know about all that. So I know exactly what you mean. And when I was in New Orleans, because I was only there for a short amount of time, and I did go on my birthday, so drunk ain't shit. I literally landed on my birthday, but I ended up at a neighborhood bar. So that was a good thing. So I was with the locals. So I was partying more than I was. I wasn't down on Bourbon Street. I forget where I was, but I was across from my hotel, but they said that particular bar where I was at was more of a neighborhood bar because the tourists didn't go to that one that much. So I got lucky. I was drunk off my ass when I left that bar. I don't even know what time I but I was partying. But, I mean, that was the point of my trip, was to go and party, and then the next day I wanted to go sightseeing, and I just couldn't see what I wanted, but I did a lot of – I did try to run. The humidity is a motherfucker down there. Anybody who's a runner and you're from, like, the north like I am, don't try to run in fucking New Orleans. I caught myself running at 6 in the morning, meeting the humidity. I learned.
Oh, my God. You out of your mind?
What do you mean? Am I out of my mind? Shit.
Yeah, that southern heat ain't no joke, man. Talking about.
Well, you know what I found out? A 3-mile run took me 2 hours to do.
Were you a Martin Lawrence from back in the day?
A 3-mile run took me fucking 2 hours to do.
Yeah, you're mine. Jesus Christ.
Did
me,
you
know
what I said? 3 miles took 2 hours.
3 miles in 2 hours. You lucky you weren't dead in less than 2 hours.
3 miles was supposed to take me 45 minutes. 3 miles took me 2 hours.
You should have been in air conditioning on a you know, one of those stepladder shits, whatever the hell you call that shit.
You know, the workout room was worse. The workout room was actually worse than me being outside. I tried to work out room. It was
really.
So I think I would have had to be in the workout room at 1 in the morning. At 1 in the morning, I think I was somewhere drinking. But literally at 5 in the morning, the workout room was too hot.
Ugh. Yeah,
that's
some.
You
want
to deal with real heat.
Yeah, I thought Alabama was bad. I was like, damn,
nah,
this shit.
You want some real heat? Go to New Orleans and Texas. That's gonna be your two hottest spots in the South to go to.
Definitely.
Well, I found that out the hard way, you know.
Yeah.
New Orleans is hot. You're knocking on 150 degrees, strong with humidity and everything.
Oh my God.
You walk outside, your face melt.
And I was glad I didn't sign up for the running of the Bulls because I was actually gonna sign up for it. Because I had saw it before I was going down there. I was like, I'll just do the running of the Bulls. And I was like, I don't know if I can handle it. I'm glad I didn't because my ass, they would have been finished with the damn race and my ass would have still been somewhere near the damn beginning of it.
That shit is crazy. Yeah, the humidity is a motherfucker. I can't stand that shit. The humidity is my kryptonite.
Well, I found that out the hard way. Okay. We don't have. See, this is what I tell people. We don't do interviews. We have fucking conversations. This is how this shit goes.
Exactly.
So it was seriously. We don't do.
You motherfuckers are learning something tonight. You know.
Interviews are boring. Seriously.
Yeah. So Rob, how you know? How was it doing? You know, how you took that first step?
You know, that shit is so boring. You know what? 5 million people ask the same questions 5 million times.
Well, yeah, exactly.
How many people are gonna have a conversation with you?
Got to mix shit up a little bit. You know what I mean?
Okay, because you said you. I wanted to talk to you because you said you heard our conversation and what part of tonight's topic did you hear? Because we like to talk to our guests about our topics also.
True that.
Let's get it.
Yeah, go ahead.
So tonight's topic was, I did a two-parter because I got pissed earlier. It's a good reason to be pissed, but taking a break for social media. And about people taking a break from social media. And the other part was using the term, you're dead to me. And I hate, you know, I've really come to the point where I can't stand hearing people say it.
Go ahead, I'm listening. Go ahead, finish.
But what did you think about it? Because, see, we were talking about taking a break from social media, and me and James both are guilty of living on Twitter too much.
Guilty as charged.
Well, honestly, my take on it is I do agree to the fact of people do, like, you know, they live on social media and their life's in social media. And, you know, I don't agree to the fact of people waking up and hopping on Instagram or hopping on Twitter. Or, I mean, if it's a business and that's what you make money from and you have to be a part of that, cool. But just to say that I wake up, go to sleep, I'm in the mall, I'm in my phone, I'm riding the car, I'm talking to you in front of you, I got company, I'm on my phone. Like, no, that's rude. That's disrespectful. And at the same time, it's like, what kind of life do you live on a day-to-day basis? Like, it's superficial. You know what I mean? People live a lot of superficial lives, and people is not really a part of reality. People live in the world where, like how y'all was talking about, like, back then, of what the life, how I was raised and people I was raised up with, it's not like today. Like, y'all think about it. We live within 3.5 generations opposed to one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like the spin of the world is moving faster. We're having more kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, and our kids is having more kids. So it's like a lot of things that was taking place back then or wasn't taking place back then is taking place now. And it's more so, I think, honestly, it's because of the parenting and who was having kids. And you look at, you turn your TV on. You look at what's on TV, 16 and pregnant. Not knocking the fact of, you know, however you make your money, however you start your career, cool. However you get your money, great. But at the same time, look at what you're feeding the people.
Yeah,
it's
but
okay
when you put not just 16
pregnant,
and pregnant, you're talking about a minor. You're glorifying
Thank
being
you.
A minor with
Thank
a child.
Thank
I can
you.
Tell you, I've got two adult children, and right now, as of right now, I don't have no grandchildren. But see, I put the word out to my children early on. I was like, but there are certain things that I wanted. And I told them to look at how we grew up, how they grew up.
Right.
And they grew up with a parent who really struggled. I mean, I've done what I needed to do to make sure they had what they needed. But I told them at the end of the day, I want to be a grandmother who, if I'm not working, V's After Dark is part of my life, so I don't see me not working. But to be able to have a thing where I told my son, if whenever you get married, if you and your wife choose to have a child, I would prefer that if you cannot afford for her to stay at home and raise my grandbaby for the first 5 years, then at least wait till I'm retired where I can have my grandchild where they're not in child care. And it's something that I asked. I'm blessed to say that my son doesn't have any children. My daughter, she says she won't have no children because they'll act like her, and she already drives me crazy, so she says she ain't having none. You know.
But you know what's crazy? How honest she was by answering that and saying that to you, why she's not having children? She was exactly right.
Yeah,
we are. What we create is the exact split image of who we are at some point in life. And, you know, people get mad at their kids and they get upset and they get frustrated because the kids are doing or running around or just they're just so hyperactive. Because go back to your childhood days. Who were you when you was a kid? You know what I'm saying? Think about things you did when you was a kid. Talk to your mom. Talk to your dad. Talk to your auntie. Talk to your grandmother. And tell them
I was a nerd, so maybe that's my problem. I didn't become a freak until I got grown. Shit. Wait a minute. I became a freak when I got my divorce. But then I became a real freak after my children got in high school. So I tell everybody, but I had to, you know what, but I was one of those people because I had to take care of my children. So I did my time in the bar stripping, made nice money. I made enough money to make sure that my son and daughter were comfortable. And then I went to school and got my degree in a couple of things. And I've done corporate America. But then once they got old enough to where I could go get my freak on, it's like, boom, Mom, I found out I like toys. And
but
then
you
I
know what's crazy?
That sounds good on the radio.
Oh, you know what's crazy you say that? Because a lot of people who don't live early, they live late.
Well, that's me.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why, like me personally, I don't regret anything that I've got myself into or that I've done or that I experienced, because it's a life experience, it's a lesson learned, and it only makes you become a better, wiser person. So me personally, honestly, the way I lived and where I came up, I appreciate it. Because it helped me and it made me molded of who I am today, you know what I mean? So it's like things that I've done early, I'm more wiser now, you know what I'm saying? So I'd rather be wise now than to be like 50, 60, and I can't get it right, you know what I'm saying? Because you got a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
Well, I tell everybody, I like having fun. I like the fact that I can just walk around, you know.
You go.
I tell everybody, but you know what? I look at the fact that I've got two adult children. My focus was to make sure that my children were raised the best that I could.
Right.
So when I tell everybody, they was like, what'd you do? I don't call what I did with sacrifices. I made a conscious choice that my children needed a mother. They didn't need a hoe. So since my children needed a mother,
Reach.
Well, moms take care of their children. I didn't have time to go get my hair and my nails done and try to look cute. I was a soccer mom. You know, I tell everybody, I was a soccer mom and I was a poetry mom. And on top of being all that, I was a mom who was going to school. So my son and daughter grew up at college. They grew up going to university because when I got my divorce and my ex-husband, I hope your ass is listening. If you're not, fuck you, bitch. But he is the reason why I did a lot of things I did, because when he told me when we got our divorce, and I was 24 when I got my divorce, he said, you're going to be just like my mother with a bunch of damn kids and on welfare. Thank you very much for your inspiration, because I have two children. They're both his. I have a college degree and a cosmetology license. I own my own shit. And guess what? Nice. I'm nothing like your fucking mother. I make more money than she'll ever see in her fucking life. And not that money is everything, but see, when I wake up in the morning, I don't ask my children for shit other than to love me.
Right.
That's
right.
All I ask for.
Yeah. Where's the applause button for that, Ms. Z? Where's the applause button?
That's true, though. That's true.
That was cool. Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, me, I love a woman, because, for number one, she's the most strongest creature on the face of the earth.
True.
You know what I'm saying? She could be the strongest, she could be the evilest, she could be the cruelest, but at the same time, she will be the one that rise and stand tall, you know what I'm saying, more than anything. And, like, a lot of women, like, they're broken, and a lot of women, you know, they're strong. A lot of women, they don't have that full force fledged confidence within themselves, but it's like at the end of the day, like, you was raised in a good household. So you're going to raise your kids in a good household. A lot of people don't understand the fact that when you have a kid, everything about you don't even exist or even matter anymore. It's all about that kid.
No, it don't. It don't matter no more at that point. If you don't know how to put your life on hold, then you don't need to have children. My son and daughter will tell you.
It all goes back to the fact of how you was raised.
Exactly.
Who you was raised by. And what was you molded and grinded and, like, actually, like, just brought up on, you know what I'm saying? What was installed into your brain? Who installed it into your brain? A lot of people don't even know the fact of, you know, what a good upbringing is, because, you know, you look at, like, and I tell people, like, different states, you go to different spots, I tell people you need to travel. When you travel, you will get the effect of each city, state, country, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody is different.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is different.
Even
and
around the world, I think that's the blessing, because, see, I've lived in different countries, just like James has lived overseas. We both lived overseas, and when you see how the U.S. culture is compared to other cultures, I tell them we are the stupidest culture around. We are.
You know what's so funny you saying this? You're the first person in my life that I've ever heard say that I agree with. Like, you know, and it's not to talk bad about the U.S., but I just feel like there's a lot of things we lay down and let people do to us opposed to other countries. Like, you look at other countries, they go to war with their government. They go to war with everybody because they're not about to let their people, like, just mistreat them or do this to them or say they're going to pass this bill or this right. No, it ain't going to happen. We're going to stand as a community. We're going to stand as fucking civilized people or whatever country or state we're in, and we're going to fight. And it's like, you look at that, the United States had that. Back then, when civil rights and, you know, the Panthers and all this stuff was running and up and strong, but it's like right now today, everybody tuck their tail and hide their hand.
Well, the whole thing is that you got to look at the children overseas go to school much longer than our children. And, our children feel that they have to have the summer off. You know, they don't understand 10 and 12-hour school days. They don't understand that they have to wear a uniform. They don't understand that not only are they, you know, we are the only country, and I say this, we are the only country that do not mandate that our children know another language from the day they start elementary school. Every country I've ever been to knows English, and people laugh because as much as they say, I know speaking no English, bullshit, because
they might not speak
English, they read English, and that's the whole thing.
Three to five languages is required.
Wow.
You know, and people look, because I tell them, whenever I hear them say, I don't understand English, I laugh at them. I really laugh.
But you know what's funny? What I do sometimes, and it'd be funny. Like, I tell people, I don't understand Spanish. I don't understand German. I don't understand French. I don't speak Dutch. But at the same time, yeah, look at it. I was born in Germany, first of all.
Okay.
So, me personally, I know a lot of different languages, but I let people think that, you know, they stereotype me, or he may not know Spanish, so we're going to speak Spanish and make him just be the only outcast. But within the situation, I just sit back and I observe, and I view people for who they are. And, you know, for me, like, I don't have to sit here and tell you you're a piece of shit. You know you're a piece of shit. Because you're going to do something that's going to make you feel like you're a piece of shit. And is it for me to tell you that? No. I'm going to let you live that. I'm going to let you live within that, live within what you have going on. And every day of your life, you're going to feel like shit because you're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to pretend to be somebody you're not.
Exactly.
So, should I beat myself up to make you know who you are or what you're doing wrong? No, I'm going to leave you alone, let you rock how you want to rock, and let you be who you be. And let me be fine with the fact of knowing that I don't need to be a part of that situation because at the end of the day, I'm a better person than that.
Thank
not
you.
Saying what I'm better funny. Than you or you're better than me, but at the same time, I don't need that negative energy in my life.
Exactly. Life's too short.
Well, but you're saying that, like, both my children, my son was born in Japan because that's where I was at when he was born. But my son...
Right.
The school that I sent my children to, it was mandatory that from first grade through eighth grade they spoke another language. When my son started the school that he went to, it was mandated that French was the mandatory language. When my daughter started 2 years later, they had switched the mandatory language over to Spanish. Both of my children are fluent in other languages, and because I had a Spanish speaker and a French speaker in my house, Mom felt like the idiot in the house because they found out they could cuss each other in their respective languages, and Mom didn't understand it, and so Mom started picking up like, that didn't sound good. I'm going to beat your ass. I don't know what you said. I'm going to beat your ass. And that's what I started.
Right.
But because both of them, like my daughter as an adult, she will sit there, and she's gotten a lot of her jobs even though she hasn't finished college because she's bilingual and she's fluent in Spanish. And here in Detroit, we have a big Hispanic community, which a lot of people don't understand. And she sits there and she goes tit for tat with them, especially when they acting stupid. She reverts to Spanish so easily. It's almost like her first language versus her second language. She sits there and says, I don't understand how you people speak English. I hate English. And that's what she does. She tells people all the time she hates speaking English. She doesn't understand how people speak English because it's stupid. And she will revert to Spanish and speak Spanish, and people don't understand how she do it. My son, I don't know what the hell he's speaking now. He probably speaking four or five more languages because he done traveled all over the country.
Wow.
But the whole thing is that we don't mandate, especially in the black community. You know, I'm gonna call it out. Black people in this country have become ignorant because when you look at Dr. Maya Angelou, she passed away last week. God rest her soul. Well, 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
She was fluent in, like, six languages. This woman had traveled the world. You know, when you look at some of the most famous people that we have, they might not talk about what they speak, but when you look at overall African-Americans in this country, the majority of them don't have a passport. They think that getting a passport is a waste of their time. And when you tell them something, the majority of them won't leave the state that they were born in. I kid you not, there are some people who think that the state they live in, that's it. I live on the Canadian border, and there are people who have never been to Canada. Going to Canada is like going next door to me, even though it's another country. I go back and forth to Canada. I've been doing that since I was little. We used to live in Canada. I actually like living over there better, but right now I can't do it. I can't live over there because Canada, because of what happened on 9/11, they've really changed the living requirements and everything. You just can't be a U.S. citizen and move over there like you used to. You've got to go through all this, you know, temporary citizenship. Why are you living here? What's your purpose? You can own a home there, but you can't live there permanently unless you do something that's crazy with the paperwork. But a lot of people have never been to Canada. A lot of people who live on the Mexican border have never been to Mexico, but then yet and still they talk about it. And I said, I'm going to go to the black community because if we don't teach ourselves and don't teach our kids, how hard is it to open up a book? How many people actually read their children now?
You know,
tell people in a heartbeat. I grew up reading. My son and daughter grew up reading. As much as people hated Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling's got children reading, something that children in this country had not been doing for a while. We have not had another author come out since her, and we're only talking 5 or 10 years to make kids want to read, but then you got parents who aren't making their children read. I remember Little Red Riding Hood, The Three Little Pigs, Mother Goose, and all that. I remember reading that. My son and daughter, when I was going through college, was reading my dog on college textbooks for fun.
Righteous.
When we would be out and they would get bored if we were at a picnic or something, because I used to have the electronic Bible, they would pull out my electronic Bible and read. So when you teach children to read early, TV is not a mandate for them. My daughter right now could go without cable and it wouldn't kill her because she watches Netflix and then she really don't watch that. I mean, she'll pull out a book. I mean, she when there's a book sale, she's right there. My son is the same way, and we're in two different states, but if there's a book sale, it's like, boom. And we talk about the books we read. When was the last time people had a conversation with their children about a book that they read and understood it?
The thing
and
is, a lot of people are not.
You ask these parents.
A lot of people are not in tune with their kids, first of all. Actually, a lot of people are not in tune with the fact of their child's education. A lot of people are not in tune with the fact of the importance and the morals of life. A lot of people are not in tune with the importance of life. You think about the fact of, like how we were talking about, social media. Like, people attend to social media and research whatever bullcrap they want to research on social media opposed to researching the right things towards moving forward in life, towards productiveness, towards their household, their kids, and itself, and whatever upbringing that they're trying to upbring or they're trying to, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the importance of life is not there. Like, the general morals of life is not there. Responsibility is not there anymore. People are really so quick and fast to blame somebody else before they take full responsibility for whatever it is itself. So it's like at the end of the day, you gotta look at the fact of what we're up against right now. Like, there's not too many real people left in life who just stand up guys and stand up women. You know what I'm saying? Who gonna really just, I'm gonna go to bat for this person because at the end of the day, is she right? You know what I'm saying? I don't give a damn if a person is right or wrong. Like, if you're right in the midst of a person telling you wrong, just because that person have a higher credential or whatever it may be, I'm gonna stand behind you and be like, you know what? In all actuality, she right or he right. You know what I'm saying? Because think about, look at what you just said. This is like, you know, teachers. I never forget this. Like, people are afraid to speak in the United States. People are afraid to have a voice. This is America. You know, the United States, divided we fall. Home of the free, land of the brave, freedom of speech. So it's like, at the end of the day, if we have civil rights leaders who fought way back then for us to have the rights and the freedom that we have today, why not embrace it and why not stand behind it?
Well, you know what? That's because everybody, they're afraid to do this or that. You know what? We have a generation, and this is black and white together, of entitlement. They feel, I'm entitled to this, but when I tell people, you know, I take offense to certain things, they, first of all, they say, we can't believe you're using words like offense. Yeah, I cuss with the best of them. I cuss like a sailor because I'm a sailor. But when I tell you I take offense to something, I'm going to tell you really clearly, I don't like this. I don't agree with this. But then we've gotten really complacent with a sense of entitlement. I remember being in college, Crib Notes was something that was only, Cliff Notes was only in college. They got this shit to elementary school. Now what the hell an elementary school child need with Cliff Notes?
That's true.
And then I still didn't use them when I was in college. If you used Cliff Notes when you was in college, that's because you was carrying a serious course load. And you needed those Cliff Notes, and then you didn't. People didn't rely really on the Cliff Notes. You went to get some information, but you, the professors knew who was using Cliff Notes. So they always threw something in there, you know. So I'm like, I don't understand how you've got Cliff Notes for elementary schools. You know, they shouldn't even know what Cliff Notes are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the sense of entitlement. I have to do this. You know, what makes, and I'm going to come down on this one real hard, what makes the person at McDonald's think that they deserve $15 a motherfucking hour when they can't add 1 + 1 together?
Yeah, exactly.
If you cannot add in your head, what makes you think, if my total is $8.15 and I give you $20.15, how hard is it to give me back fucking $12?
Yeah.
You got to punch this shit into the damn register because you can't think.
Yeah.
Well, my total is $11.25 and I give you $21.25. How hard is it to give me back a 10? Shit, I'm a bitch who loves to shop. I know how to count on my damn feet because I ain't going to never be gotten over in a store. You know, I tell them if nothing else, you got to know how to shop.
That's a problem.
And what makes this person think they're entitled to $15 when you're dependent on a calculator, something that when I took my ACTs and my SATs, we were not even allowed to have?
You can't have none of that.
Nope.
You can't have none of that.
But now you're depending on a calculator to do your job at a fast food restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
I mean, think about it. When you go up to a register in a McDonald's, you don't say what you exactly want. You say, give me a number 3. So what does that
mean?
The fucking picture and a button.
Because I'm too damn cheap for that shit.
No, I'm
listen,
saying,
I'm going to get a double cheeseburger, that value fry,
the dollar menu.
$3.
You give me the dollar
ain't
menu.
Ain't no numbers on there.
Let me get the 20-piece chicken nuggets for $5.
And
barbecue sauce. Barbecue sauce, motherfucker. Barbecue, not sweet and sour. And you never mind.
Then you almost got to sell that out to them. But,
yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing. But they feel that they're entitled, and they have felt
that's
this
ridiculous.
Sense of entitlement. Where
what
makes you think that $15 is an entitlement when you dropped out of high school in second grade? That's not my fault you dropped out, and that's nobody else in society's fault. You made a conscious choice to do this.
Exactly.
First of all, we got to know how to hustle, because James has heard me say over and over, bitch will never be without, because I will be making fish dinners, because there's somebody somewhere who want a fucking fish dinner with some spaghetti on a Friday evening.
Oh,
I'm
man.
From Michigan.
There
are
plants. You know what's crazy? And is no racial profiling right now,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
honestly, black people and Latinas are some of the most smartest, greatest,
yep.
ambitious, hustlers, hungry people who will never go without. Because at the end of the day, they pride and their dignity. More Latina than blacks, I say, because
mm-hmm.
they don't mind going out and selling a corner and hustle and sell snowballs and corn and chips and whatever it is. But the fact of the matter, what I'm saying is, like, you'll never go hungry, you'll never go without. Me in New Orleans, like, we have card games. Like, we sell supper plates. Like, we sell candy. We sell frozen cups. We sell anything we can put our hands on that we can sell. If you give me something to have collateral and I can sell it, I guarantee it's going to be gone. You know what I mean? And it's like, people, you know, that's why, like I said, like, I'm glad I lived and I was brought up how I brought up, because I know how to survive.
Yeah, that was your real school right there. You know what I mean?
Man, come on, man.
You know what I mean?
I know how to survive.
There you go.
Like,
but
you
then, you know what? But see, you were brought up in New Orleans, but I'll give you an example, and I'm calling out a whole city on this one.
Go ahead.
Nashville, Tennessee.
You got to. You can't not forget about Memphis.
No, you know, no, I'm calling out Nashville. I'm going to call out Nashville because that's where my ex is from. I will tell you, the individuals that I met from Nashville have a sense of entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I say that because my ex-husband is nothing like me. My ex-husband does not believe in hustling. He does not believe in working. He believes that he is entitled to everything. He's still in the mentality, the white man did this. Baby, you're 45 years old. The white man did not tell you to be an idiot. Okay?
Right.
He didn't tell you that.
I mean, don't give me... But just remember what I said. It's people who don't take responsibility for their own actions.
They
always quick blame someone else.
That's a problem.
Before they actually take the responsibility and be like, you know what, it's my fault. Let me get off my ass. I can do a little bit more.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Actually, like, we deal with the same thing. I dealt with this same situation at the beginning of the year when I first, like, one time when I first came to L.A. Like, I was dependent on other situations and not remain the person who I know who I am. And what have put me in certain positions to become the person I am today, or what put me in position to have a financially great situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter what, you can't never break away from who you are. Who you are, stay true to who you are. When you do that, you will find yourself coming out of a lot of things that you will not put yourself into because of. You can't run from who you are. Only embrace it. It's up to the people to like it. At the end of the day, I don't even care if you like it or you don't like it. I'm fine with being who I am.
Exactly.
I know who I am. And
mm-hmm.
I can take full responsibility for my faults and my actions. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's all about being accountable for your own actions and not blaming or pointing the finger on, I didn't get this job because of whatever. Nah, if I got to get out here and blood, sweat, and tears, grind it out and get out here on the corner and sell hot dogs every day, I'm going to get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter what, I don't never limit myself and limit my grind, limit my hustle towards one situation. I'm a hustler by law. I'm a hustler by nature.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, no matter what, I can get fired from any job there is possible. But I guarantee you can't take my freedom from me to get out here and get money.
There you go. Very well said.
And I can't even say nothing on that because it's the whole truth. And that's why I said I love this show because we have such great conversations.
Right, exactly.
That's
exactly how I roll.
If we'd be in trouble.
In my show's the same way. You know, that's how we do. You know, you put out there the realness, and that's the real shit, whether the people like it or not. They like it tough shit. That's the way it is.
But you know what? I don't fucking apologize for the way I do it.
I'm not. You hear me saying?
Oh no, you should never apologize for anything.
Hell no.
Because at the end of the day, like, I mean, it's okay if I'm wrong. I apologize.
Of course,
I stand behind apology. You know what I'm saying? But obviously, if you took something the wrong way or you took something out of content, I'm going to apologize for whatever disrespect that I probably may possibly have brought towards you. But at the end of the day, that's why me personally, I believe in the fact of I put people in my circle of who I need in my circle, and I will never let a person put you in my circle because they put you in my circle. Nobody can put you and pair you with me because who are you? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you like me or not? Because at the end of the day, it's a rare breed of people who you can look at and you can vibe with today on all levels. So it's like some people, people wake up in the morning and they look in the mirror and they run out of the mirror, they go get back in the bed. Now people wake up and they run to the mirror and they fix themselves up. But then before they walk out the door, they got to check and make sure everything is okay. Me personally, when I wake up in the morning, I look in the mirror to brush my teeth and wash my face. Get on one knee, say a prayer, and that's it. Once I get ready and I'm done, I got my clothes on, I'm gone. I ain't got to double check because I know who I am. I know what I look like. I know who I am within and outside. So no matter what, nobody can never tell me nothing or take nothing from me because at the end of the day, I'm me. I know who I am. Mm. I don't know if you know, but if you need to know, you might want to find out. You know what I'm saying? Because before you step over a boundary that you really don't want to step over, you might want to do some research. And some people, you let things go over your head. You let things slide because you be the bigger person because you see something what's wrong with that situation or why that person reacts or act that way. And you get it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But some people, you can't be ignorant to the fact and play on the level of the playing field that they want you to play on because now you got to be bigger than them. You kill them with success. That's how you win.
There you go. There you go.
You don't never stoop down to nobody's level because that's what they want you to do. They're miserable. Misery loves company.
Exactly.
So
try to take your ass down.
I can do anything to derail you and put you on my level or bring you around some negative energy. And I want to just because people want to make you seem like you're nobody.
Exactly.
By trying to reroute you. You can't reroute me. I know where I'm going at. You don't know where I'm going. But I do. I got a plan. I masterminded already. I sat down. I was in the lab, getting it together, putting it on paper, speaking it over and over and over again. And one day, you know what happened? I came across some money from me being a hustler, a natural person by law, by nature. And I can fund my own situation. I can put myself out here and do this and do that and become my own CEO, my own boss for whoever I want to be and whatever I want to be. And at the end of the day, I don't have to worry about the fact of taking rules and regulations from anybody else. Not that I have a problem with taking rules and regulations from somebody, but at the end of the day, I want to be my own boss. I don't want to make nobody else rich. I want to make myself rich.
Well, there's a saying that I grew up with, and, you know, my dad would sit there, and he would be happy to hear that I say this. But he think I don't – he really do. He think I don't listen to him. But my father has always instilled in me, and, you know, he's still around, so it's not what he used to say. He still says it, especially when he think I'm not listening. I was raised to just better to make a payroll than a paycheck, and a lot of people don't understand. I grew up making payroll. So when you hear that, you know, and people have asked me, what do you mean? I was like, listen, I remember growing up, my father having a payroll of $50,000 a week.
Tell me.
I was like, that was payroll. I was like, when you making payroll, you ain't worried about a paycheck because that payroll is paying the folks.
Yep.
And I tell everybody, I look at it, you know, I've come a long way. But the one thing I tell people, I don't have friends. I tell people, if you think you're my friend, then when I fuck up, you'll tell me I done fucked up. But when my shit is going right, you're not just going to be there when it's right. You're going to be there when it's going wrong.
When it's wrong.
And there's a lot of people within the past year who will tell you that I cut people off. Boom, boom, boom.
Man.
I've been cutting people off.
Yeah.
And when they ask me why, I tell them, I don't have to tell you why. You know exactly what the fuck you did to be cut off. Because, I know who got my, I know who has my back. I know who's right there with me. You know, I tell everybody, when I wake up in the morning, I don't wake up wondering how many fucking friends I got. You know what I wake up? I wake up and I figure if I need to come. Because if I'm in a bitchy mood, that means that I don't probably need to be around nobody. And if my man ain't there, then I need to probably come. So I make sure I take care of that. You know, if I ain't got him, I got a toy. And
there
then I go. Call him a cuss. And then I call and cuss him out because he wasn't there to take care of it. So, but then I go on about my business. And I tell people that when I wake up in the morning, I go to bed I don't just wake up. I go to bed strategizing. I wake up strategizing. I have 5 million things going on at one given time. Just like we're doing this, I'm doing 5 million other things while we're on this show. That's just how I function. You know, I can't just do one thing. And I'll tell everybody, you know, and if anybody want to know what I'm doing, wait and see. We got a whole lot of surprises for y'all coming up. But, but you know, it's just like I'm addicted to a lot of things. I'm addicted to online auctions, not eBay shit, but real auctions. So
right.
I've been bidding on some stuff, won a couple of bids while we've been on the air, you know. I've been tweeting, you know, I've been talking in the chat room, you know, doing research on my guests since I didn't have the right thing out there when I was doing my research, checking out the damn body, Lord have mercy. But, listen, you know, I love a chocolate man. That's me, you know. The darker, I am that sister that say the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. I just love a dark-skinned man.
I mean, hey.
I love a dark-skinned man. You know, that is like my weakness. And take it up, damn. And not fat? Shit, you know. Hey, some folks won't say it like that. I love them, no.
There you go.
Nothing against, you know, like, I'm cool with Prince Joshua. I love him. But a dark-skinned brother, Lord. It's just something about a dark-skinned man. You know, them red bones, them light-skinned brothers with the green eyes, they all right. Some of them can even fuck.
Yeah.
But, you know, they not, you know, that ain't, I don't want a motherfucker who wake up in the morning and think he cuter than me. Okay? Let's just keep it real.
Okay.
If you got to spend more time in the mirror than I do, we got a problem.
Yeah.
My daddy is a red bone. I grew up with a red bone, a hard working red bone. My daddy's a red bone. You know?
Right. Okay.
And my father's this very day, and he's pushing 70. He spends more time in the mirror than my mother.
Right.
I grew up in a household with a, you know, I will say my father, unlike a lot of red bones, my father got dirt up underneath. He do everything, you know. He is nothing he can't do.
There,
but he's still a fucking red bone. I don't watch my dad spend 45 minutes in the bathroom, you know. So.
Damn. When I take 45 minutes of bathroom, because I'm taking a long shit, not because I'm looking at the
My father, you know, he got to, if he going somewhere, he got to take a bath. I mean, he ain't taking a shower.
Damn.
He got to take a bath, you know, and he got to make sure everything is just right.
Okay.
So
right.
My father put me in this mindset. I ain't one of motherfuckers that take that long
bath. That's funny.
I found out a dark-skinned brother, you know, he take his time. He, you know, he do it right, but there's something about a dark-skinned brother to get it put together and still just look just as good as that light-skinned brother. But he don't take an hour in the fucking bathroom. My daddy's going to kill me. He's going to be like, daddy. My daddy going to kill me. He's going to be like, really? You put it out there? Yeah, daddy.
And this is how V's after dark is.
But he do it to me. You know, he does that shit. So I just have to think about light-skinned brothers and be like, nah, motherfucker, you know what? you're all right, but no, nah, you're going to take too long.
Man.
Wait a minute. We got someplace to be in 25 minutes. Motherfucker, you just got started getting dressed. What? You in the bathroom now? I'm dressed.
Well, Ms. B, it's almost like the end already of the show. I can't believe it.
Yeah, and we got Greg calling in to take a question real quick, so we're going to get to him because we don't want a little bit, not over the show, but a little bit over for our time. So, hey, Greg.
Let's get it.
You on the air, right?
And I even called on my cell phone.
Wow. Look at that.
Damn.
Man, that's amazing.
Hello, Miss V.
Hey, Greg.
And James?
Yes, Mr. Oklahoma, how you doing?
Good nabbing. That's good.
And you know we got Rob Piper on. That's who we're talking to tonight.
The man of the hour.
Hey, Greg,
Rob,
how you doing, buddy? What's up,
Rob? How are you doing? How are you doing,
I'm
Rob?
Good, man. I can't complain.
Hey, I do have one question.
Go ahead, dude.
fell in love with it when I was in Louisiana delivering cars and traveling and all that. What do you think of alligator meat?
Alligator is good. Alligator is great. Actually, I would tell people to try alligator. Like, it's really good. It's very tasteful, very flavorful. It's a lot of things, you know what I mean? Like, New Orleans is a place to go. If you want to know about food, you want to try some taste testing, go to New Orleans.
I agree. I mean, I love alligator fried, baked, smoked.
Yeah.
You name it. It's a great, great meat.
Yes, it is. It's a great texture, too.
And also, did you play sports in high school, college, or did you go to college?
Yes, I did. I did high school. I did college.
What'd you play?
I played football. I played football. I played basketball. I played baseball. I ran track.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's cool. What was your favorite? Do you have a favorite, or did you like
football.
All three? Football. There you go. Were you wide receiver or what?
Football and boxing. My position in football was wide receiver, safety, kick return, and punt return.
You sound like a wide receiver. That's why I said that first. I said, I have a feeling you're a wide receiver.
Now, you said you played baseball, right?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
What position?
What position?
I played center field.
Center field. Cool.
Yeah. It's pizza. I'm seventh center field.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome, man. That's cool. Were you ever close to being drafted by a pro team or anything?
Actually, yes.
Really?
I actually had a chance to go to University of Miami.
Really?
And I blew my knee out. So
that sucks, man.
I had to actually take a decision on the fact of how y'all were talking about earlier, people who are for you and who is real and people who are for you who is fake.
Yeah.
You know, my life, it came with a lot of decisions, a lot of choices I had to make, and not just for myself, but for my dignity and for me being sane as a person. Because, you know, you get people who, they experience success and they experience fame, and they have all these latches, and people who just taking dabs at you because they know you have it and they know you want to make it, so they just hang around and they be around. So for me, I made a decision to cancel my athletic career and just do things from the ground up.
Wow.
Because my family support, not to, you know, actually throw out the fact of, you know, what happened with me and my family, but, you know, this was it. You know, like, I don't care, you know what I mean, but it's just known already. So I took a decision to say that, you know what, I'm going to hang up my shoes. I'm going to hang up this. I'm going to hang up that. And I'm going to start a career, and I'm going to start something on my own because I feel like I'm talented enough to where I could do whatever it is because I'm God-gifted. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And no matter what I do or no matter what I choose, I know I will be steered the right way. So for me, I was like, you know what? I decided to hang it up. And actually, I was like, you know what? I'm going to fly to L.A., and I'm going to find something that's going to take me to another level. And no matter what, like, I always had dreams and always had big visions of, you know, just me being successful. I never wanted to be the richest. I never wanted to be the most greatest at this. But everything I do, I do with passion. Because at the end of the day, I want you to know something that's worth it and something that's not worth it. You know what I'm saying? So, and the reason being of why I'm so passionate and why I'm so hands-on with everything, because, you know, like, I actually missed out on something that I decided to say, you know what? Nah, I don't want to do this no more. I'm going to find something else that I can do and challenge myself towards life and become something away from what I already had set out to be.
That's something else, man. That takes a lot of courage to do that, man. I give you mad props for that, bro. Seriously.
Yeah, so it's like right now, you know, I'm in a process of being faced with my own headline and my own clothing line. And, you know, I want to be an aspiring author and write about, you know what I mean, the most unsaid things or the most unspoken truth about, you know, whatever it is, you know what I mean? And me, I'm a person, I'm an open book. Like, one day you could talk to me, and I can say, yeah, you know, last month, you know, you had the hats going, you know, when they're launching at the end of the summer, you know what I'm saying? And by the end of summer come, now you're working on something else. But damn, you never stop. I will never stop until my casket drop.
There you go. Yeah.
We are hitting that 5-minute mark.
Yeah.
I got to thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We got to get you back on because this is what we love doing. We love having conversations with our guests.
I love this, man. Seriously.
Of course, of course.
Real recognize is real, you know what I mean?
Always.
Love the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Damn, I'm loving that
body,
too.
Intelligent conversation. You know what I mean? See?
I know you heard me.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to have to go pull some of them movies. You know, if I could just get past the... Lord. Oh.
Well, it's a lot.
Okay. You know what? All I got to do is say, you know, I got to thank you for coming on the show. I got to keep this... we're going to have to come. We're going to have you come back on because... Will you be doing Exotica? That's one thing. You know,
This
is what I need you to do. Give out your...
Yes.
How people can find you, your social media, where people can find you, and anything you got coming up.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, of course. Well, you know, you're talking to Rob Piper. You can find me on Twitter at Rob Piper. That's RobPiper. And you can also hit me on Instagram at Rob Piper, XXX. And also, you know, looking out for my headline, RFS Lifestyle, Righteousness, Fortune, and Success. That'll be coming out towards August, September. That's my headline, and I'm also getting to women's lingerie and women's clothing. So just be keeping an eye out towards a lot of situations that I have going on right now in brewing. So just keep your ear to the streets, and you'll hear me.
Okay, well, you be doing any public appearances anytime soon?
Public appearances, besides just actually trying to get this off the ground and just going to set and working and putting my all into everything I do, at this point in time right now, I don't know. I was thinking about, I had some invites about the what a Ward Expo is, and I think it's in Fort Lauderdale or somewhere on Netflix or something like that in Florida.
I think I've heard about that because
Exotica
is the next thing that's coming. Well, Exotica is the next big thing that's coming up that I know about, and that's
in
Chicago.
That's
Chicago, July 11th through the 13th.
Okay. Well, I know that that's real close to the time frame of launching, but I'll keep you posted. I definitely will.
Cool.
Definitely, we got to thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody, this was the sexy-ass chocolate, Rob Piper. Lord. Thank you, baby, for coming on the show.
I thank you for having me, love.
Okay,
yeah,
let's talk
to you, man.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Nice meeting you.
Bye-bye.
There you go.
Whew. Okay. Greg, I know you're still there, but, you know, we got to make a quick announcement.
Yeah, we got to get going, unfortunately.
Quick announcement is, you guys, make sure you check me out. I will be at Exotica Chicago next month, booth 735 as of today. That may change. We're trying to maneuver some things. Make sure you follow Twitter for your chance to win a V's After Dark T-shirt. If you can guess what that new product is, the problem that we realized, if we guess what the new product is before it comes out, it won't be able to debut. So, it was some, you know, I had to talk to the people. Found out that how can I have you guess what it is if it's supposed to debut in Chicago and nobody knows what it is. You know, it was kind of my fault. But, you know, we're going to have some people. I'm going to put something out there because I want to give somebody a T-shirt. So I'm going to put something out there in the next week or so because somebody deserves a T-shirt that's, you know, you're already. But I'm going to do something. So we're going to probably put a trivia question out there. And, you know, for everybody who's listening, you know, keep your ear out because I do want to give away one of these shirts, but I can't do the toy because I was told that the toy is debuting. I can't have you guess what it is. Well, I mean, it kind of made, you know, it made sense until I realized that we were keeping it under wraps until Chicago.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to get out there. But everybody, make sure you follow us. Follow me and James on Twitter. Follow me at Miss Vida Toiley. That's MSVDATOYLADY. And follow James at YankeeMan1973. And I want to say bye-bye to everyone because we had a good weekend. And we will talk to you. Check us out, V's After Dark Sports. Ask Miss V Sports.
Yes. Yes.
Thursday,
8:30
p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Greg.
Good night, guys.
Yeah, later. Later, Miss V.
Bye-bye.
Give me my T-shirt, damn it. I sent you an email, damn it.